There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Right now, we want to talk about preparing for university.
Drive Live talks education.
We have three guests in the studio today, so I'd like to welcome you along. First of all, Daniel Lewis is the principal of North London Collegiate School. Daniel, welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much.
We also have Jennifer Hager, who's a principal, head of secondary school, Collegiate American School. Got you the right way round.
Yes, thank
welcome,
you.
Jennifer. And Alisa Bryan is the education consultant at Hale Education. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, good to see you all. So, preparing for university is a topic we're going to talk about today. So, if you're listening to this and you have university memories and you're thinking, oh, did I do the right thing? Did I know enough before I went? What would I tell myself if I could rewind 10, maybe 15, maybe 20, maybe 30 years? Think back to those memories. Or if you have children and they're heading off to university in the not too distant future, what do you think you would like them to know? So we want to hear from you. Text us 4001 via the free messaging app, or you can give us a call. If you have questions for our guests, they're happy to take them. 4231010 is our number. But we're going to start off with some of the education news stories we've seen come up this week. And we're going to start off with a topic we talked about quite recently, but it's one of those subjects that really gets people going, and it's about homework. Should schools have homework? Is there too much? Is there a wrong age to be doing homework? I'm going to come to you, Daniel, because you're smiling. So when it comes to homework, do you think that we're giving children too much?
So I think it depends very much on the school that you're talking about. I know that some schools here in Dubai don't favour homework, particularly in the primary years. We certainly do. We describe ourselves as an ambitious academic school, and we do have very high hopes for our students. And many of the parents who choose us are choosing us for the reason that they want to send their children to the world's leading universities. So homework for us is an important aspect to the education that we're offering. We do think it provides students with the chance to consolidate what they've learnt, to prepare for classes that are coming. But it's got to be purposeful. It's got to be something that's actually useful to the child.
And Jennifer, you are a principal in the secondary school, so I mean it's slightly different. Primary school is one thing, but when you get to secondary school, we all kind of expect that there will be some level of homework. Tim has two children, he won't mind me saying this, they have very differing levels of homework. So do you think at secondary school it's important to get that balance right?
I think balance is key. I think that word is really, really important. I do believe, as Daniel, you said, that homework is very important as well, especially as the students get older, because it teaches them not only skills, but time management as well. When they go to university, they're going to have to be self-sufficient. They're not going to have mom or dad calling up and saying, oh, don't forget to do this, don't forget to do that. So actually, part of the homework process isn't always the academics, but the training for that self-sufficiency.
And Alisa, I guess you're coming from this from a completely different angle. You're helping people transition from secondary school into universities. You're hoping to get them into the places they need to be. Do you think, you know, if you're looking at going to university, you're trying to get these application forms in, some of these universities are asking for incredible amounts of information, essays, all of this kind of stuff. Do you think that maybe sometimes having a lot of homework is just another pressure?
Well, the students we work with, a lot of them are under a lot of pressure. They're doing their homework, they're writing their essays, they're taking at this season the SAT, the ACT. Of course, time management is important, and we drill this in with our students. Every student all around the world is doing all of these things at once. The one thing students do have to be careful about is making sure that homework is not their only priority throughout high school. They do have to develop other interests. They have to be doing extracurriculars, participating in music, participating in sports, anything that's interesting to them. So what we worry about is when students come in and they say, we're spending all of our time on homework, grades are all that matters. That's when the problem comes in. That's when students need to reinterpret how they see homework. They have to do homework with other things as well.
What do you do when parents demand more homework, when they're very academically focused, Jennifer? Did you get that? Parents just don't think their children are doing enough at home?
We do have that occasionally, yes. And really, the matter is that we want to make sure what they're doing is meaningful, rigorous, and also efficient. There's nothing nothing worse than having homework that has no meaning and not getting feedback. So at Collegiate American, we're always focused on making sure whatever the assignment is, it's meaningful and geared towards the student as well.
And what do you do if a parent is with you, Daniel, demand, if I don't know if this has happened, but a parent thinks their child isn't getting enough homework, isn't doing enough at home, and is perhaps pushier than they need to be. How do you work? I'm always interested to know how you work with parents like that, that are driving their kids for good reason, but driving perhaps a little bit too hard or even in the wrong direction.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. There are parents who feel pressure, great pressure, whether it be external or internal. And I do think it's important to explain to them that, you know, children who just spend their whole life doing homework are not going to be able to benefit from what a real education can offer. They're not going to be able to develop those softer skills that top universities really value, such as the extracurricular activities, such as the music, the drama that we mentioned earlier. They've got to have a balanced approach to their education, or they won't be able to succeed at that very, very top level that top universities actually want.
And do you think it is a case that maybe some parents are hearing what their friends are saying? Oh, well, my child at this school has this homework, and if my son or daughter isn't doing the same, then they're being let down.
Absolutely. I think, you know, people do feed off each other's pressure in that way. And, you know, it's very difficult to ignore it when your best friend's telling you that their child is doing X, Y, and Z and, you know, obviously achieving very highly. But, you know, I think it's important for parents to understand their own children, to be confident about their knowledge of their own children, and not to listen to those internal voices or perhaps those external voices that are pushing them.
So we're talking education today. We have three guests in the studio and we're talking about the topic of being prepared for going to university. And there's a story that we've seen in the news this week, and it's kind of part and parcel of this topic. Lots of young people are suggesting that maybe when they go to university, they're not as ready as they might have been. Maybe they could have done with a bit of support, whether that's choosing where to go to university or whether that's choosing what courses to do and what to expect. I guess, Elisa, you deal with this quite a lot. Explain from your point of view, do you think there needs to be more career guidance from sort of high school age?
Yeah, so, you know, what we do is not quite career guidance. It's more of a mentorship, exploratory process with the students. And we find that that's been very beneficial for our students. So if you're looking at a U.S. university, which are the types of universities we work with, you're not deciding your career when you enter the university. You're deciding to go to that university. You're deciding that you want to be in that environment with those professors, with those activities, and you're not choosing your major. University of Chicago, my alma mater, doesn't even allow you to select what major you would like to apply into. So you're just applying to the school. So in that way, students going to the U.S., they don't need the career advising. They need to find which school is the best fit for them, and they need to be able to cope with the school they're going to and understand how to explore and how to engage in the activities that are available to them. So I can't speak for the UK, but what we find here is that a lot of students aren't prepared to enter university because they aren't prepared with what is at that university. They haven't done the research.
Yeah.
They don't know if it's a good fit for them.
And Jennifer, you're the principal and head of secondary school at Collegiate American School. What's your perspective in terms of the kinds of conversation you're having with parents and with pupils about how they feel in terms of support when it comes to next steps after they leave you?
I think support it's absolutely key. And really, it starts from a very young age as well. Students, parents, they both need to feel comfortable exploring what's out there. And as we were discussing during the break, it's very, very important that each student is looked at as an individual. Not everybody is going to go to Ivy League. Not everybody is going to even go to university, and that's all okay. The question is, how can we prepare them best and send them off into the world with the best, most well-rounded environment?
And Daniel, is that... Go on, sorry, Tim.
No, I'm just thinking there. I mean, it's slightly different from the US to the UK, and the decision you make, whatever you decide and wherever you decide to go, depends so much on research. It's such a huge decision, and I'm wondering if lots of people make decisions based on where an uncle goes or a cousin's gone or this kind of thing, which may work brilliantly, may not work brilliantly. Daniel, what's the key thing when you sit down to think, well, what am I going to do? This is from a UK perspective. This is your experience, I guess, initially. What's the key thing when you sit down to think, well, I'm going to move on and do this, I'm good at these topics, so would this university be the fit? Is that the way to follow the train of thought, as it were?
I think it's really important that the students choose something that they are genuinely passionate about. So from a UK perspective, because university degrees tend to be quite subject focused, it's easier, I guess, in the sense that you have to be honest with yourself about the subjects that you enjoy, the subject that you may want to take further. And as a school that really values subjects and really focuses on subject teaching and subject specialism, we would certainly use that route to help guide a student. But of course, you have to keep doors open as much as you can, because people's lives change. So one of the things that we've introduced in the UK school and are bringing here in Dubai is the International Baccalaureate. And we love the IB diploma because it actually keeps students a little bit broader in their subject choices than A-levels. You know, the UK curriculum is pushing you all the time to narrow, specialise. Whereas the IB diploma ensures that you keep six subjects, three at high level, three at standard level. And that is actually really helpful for the kids.
Okay, so that's the one side of it. If you are pushed in a slightly more narrow direction, if you're pushed in a broader direction, which is more suited to the US system, college application, what's the first thing you should think of there? I mean, it's very difficult, Liz, isn't it? If you have this enormous country with all these different places that you could go, where do you start?
I mean, for U.S. universities, there's a lot of different factors, right? So a lot of students know sort of what they want to study. So that's a good starting place. Let's say I want to study history. Okay, I want to look at schools, not just the top rankings for schools, but I want to see what schools have strong history programs. So that's a great point to start. If you're completely undecided, then you go regional. You look at, you know, where in the U.S. do you want to be? Do you want to be at a research university, a public, a private university? Do you want there to be top sports? Do you want there to be strong music programs, strong arts programs? So it's all about kind of finding and identifying what your passions are, what are the key things you want at a university, and then searching for universities from that. And again, as we talked about, it's not all about the Ivy Leagues, right? There's hundreds and hundreds of universities in the US, and all of them specialize in different things, and all of them have very strong programs in different things. So, you know, we have to look at what is the most important to a student, what is the key thing they want at a university, and then work from there.
It is so different, the US and the UK style, though, because when I went to university, I wanted to be a barrister, so the only option was to do law. So instead of seeing what are the top five universities, you then look what are the top five universities for law, because it's not the same thing. Different universities, as you mentioned, have different specialties. But yes, in that UK system, you are pushed, and I was pushed at the age of 16. If I wanted to do law, I couldn't do law at A level because it was frowned upon by the best university. So at 15, 16, I was making decisions about my future. I ended up doing a completely different degree because I hated it. But that's just, you know, that's a life lesson. We've asked some of the people we work with in the office, what were their sort of thoughts on university? How did they feel? What did you wish you knew before you went to university? So this is the first one.
I wish I knew how to cook before I went to university, because for the first 3 months, all I ate was eggs, instant noodles, rice, lots of rice. My roommate decided that she'd had enough of my terrible cooking and took over the charge. And then we started cooking together. Maybe teaching me how to manage money, because there were times when I'd be out of money or not remembering to withdraw it from the ATM because I just never had to do it before. As spoiled as that sounds.
So Shruti was brought up here in the UAE, and she basically says, you know, cooking, I was hopeless at. She honestly admits that. And she said also handling money and budgeting. And Alisa, how difficult is it to get across to students who perhaps have been brought up in Dubai, and it's a very comfortable and safe environment that we're in here? How difficult is it to get across to them? Maybe they are going to have to cook their own meals. They're going to have to do their own laundry. They're going to have to budget for the term. They're going to get money, and they're going to need to spend it wisely over the whole course of the year.
Well, for us, we actually have a whole orientation event at the end with our students where we go through these basic life skills and kind of orient them for university. But one of the first big steps is the application process itself. That needs to be a very self-sufficient process for the students, and them just going through this process of writing 35 essays without their parents' assistance and managing their time, that's the first big step. And so that we do at Hale is we start students right away and we make them responsible for the work they're doing, and by the time they get to university, hopefully they've kind of adapted these skills.
Mm-hmm. And Jennifer, is that something that you would agree with? Do you feel like there's enough at school to help provide students with the skills to go on and be okay in this new environment?
Absolutely. At Collegiate American, we spend quite a bit of time working with the students one-on-one and not just considering the academics, as you said, but also thinking about things that might seem seem kind of meaningless, like the size of the university. Not all students are ready to sit in an auditorium size room with 500 of their peers and take notes and never see the professor. So it really does matter. And they have to think quite a bit about a number of different factors, even so much as to what sporting events are there. I mean, if you have a student who loves cricket, you need to make sure that they're going to be able to participate that and have fun, because there is that balance that's needed.
And Daniel, do you think there is a real strong role that schools can play in making sure pupils are prepared to go on and even at the earlier stages make those choices?
Absolutely. I mean, you've got to have really strong university guidance counselling within the school. And I know there are a lot of services here in Dubai who are sort of offering parents the chance to sort of receive support in their university application process. But for me, it's the school's responsibility to have the expertise in-house to be able to really support those students, to have the relationships with the US universities, to know the UK system really, really well, and be able to support the children throughout their application process, right from, 15, 16, right through until they go off to university.
What does guidance counselling look like in school now? Because I'm thinking back to my time and my school counsellor guidance, I don't know quite what he was. He was a geography teacher. I remember he had patches on his elbows as well, which is great. I remember him saying, well, you could go into the city and work in insurance. And I remember thinking, yeah, not going to happen. Don't think that's going to be the direction for me. But, I mean, things have changed a great deal. Counselling in schools is obviously key. It's obviously important. Well-being, I understand that now. But how much does it include, Daniel, things like life counselling, preparing for that next stage? Because university, whether you like it or not, is a stage in your life, hopefully a critical stage.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I think we call it careers guidance or careers counselling, and that's about talking to students about where they see their life going, their sort of longer term plans for their career. One of the most important things I think for us as educators today is to recognise that almost all of our students will not have one career. They won't have one job as they go into the future. They will have many, some of them. And, some of them will, a lot of them, a much higher proportion will end up working for themselves and running their own businesses than was ever the case before. So I think recognizing that and recognizing that students' careers are going to be fluid is important for them and of course, for us in trying to advise them.
Jennifer, you were saying off air just now that the key thing for you is knowing the young adult, the child. That's where you start, isn't it?
Absolutely. And really, you asked a question earlier as to who is in charge of this career counseling, who's the person, and you were saying, well, it was my geography teacher with the elbow patches. Really, at Collegiate American, every single person's responsible. Every single person in that school is a counselor in some way, shape, or form. We have our homeroom teachers who work pastoral, and their job is to help the students figure where they want to go. Also to deal with, well, how are they going to cook? Are they going to eat ramen for the rest of their life? Because that's clearly not going to work out. So it's not that we have one guidance counselor. It's really a family, and this family works together to push the students into a direction that will be suitable for them.
Jennifer, that's really reassuring, because a bit like Tim, wasn't my geography teacher, but we all had to sit down with our guidance person, and she asked us to do a series of questions. They went into a machine, it clicked and it clunked, and all five of my best friends were all told that we would be social workers. So good to see that things have changed, and we were all completely different personalities.
It's kind of what you do now, though, isn't it? Really?
In terms of looking after you?
Yeah. Okay. It's social-ish.
Yes, of course. We've been talking to some of the people in our office about preparing for university, and we asked Mare what she wished she'd known before she went.
It's very important to be a team player and to collaborate, because while you do become more of an independent learner at university, your capacity to learn and your capacity to deduce different things or different topics goes such a long way if you talk to people and discuss it. Everybody has different backgrounds, different points of view. Verbalizing and vocalizing your own thoughts, not necessarily being a loner. I eventually did learn and pick up on this, but it would have been nice to know going in.
So we all have different expectations, I guess, is what Mare's saying as well, because, she thought she was great at one thing, realised she wasn't so good at something else. And I guess, how do you realise those faults that you've got? It's quite difficult. you know, you don't know your weaknesses before you go. What practical tips do you think, you know, you could offer students, Elisa, in terms of what they need to be aware of? What do they need to think about, aside from just the course they're on? Once they get there, what do they need to be thinking about on a practical level?
You know, I think with at least the U.S., there's so many outside activities that students can be involved. And we talked about your path, you know, to your job now and how you took a job and ended up there. So students really need to get involved outside of the university and develop those kind of hard and soft skills outside of the university they're actually at to decide where their career is going, and see, you know, take an internship here, take a volunteer opportunity here, take a class that you didn't know you would like, and see where it takes you. And that is, you know, being open to those things and being open to trying new things is a huge thing for our students. And even at the high school level, students need to be open to trying these new things. We have a student that climbed Mount Kilimanjaro. She's wow. actually speaking at our panel on Saturday. And so, you know, being open to those things helped her get to college, but then is going to help her down the line.
And Jennifer, you, quite similar to me, your bachelor's degree is nothing to do with what you do as a job now, essentially, but it's okay to make mistakes, isn't it?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And I think one of the things we need to prepare our students for, even starting at a really, really early age, is communication and the idea that it's okay to not know what you want to do.
And Daniel, I mean, from your personal experience, what practical tips do you wish you'd known at the time?
About going to university?
Well, yeah, yeah.
Well, I think probably time management. I did a very unstructured degree where there was very little contact with tutors as such. So you were very much in charge of your own time. And that, for me, suited me very poorly, actually, because it meant that I just went off and did pretty much whatever I wanted. And so that was great fun, and I enjoyed it very much, and I got involved in a huge range of extracurricular activities that you can do at university. So the student newspaper, I did lots of drama, did lots of things that I was passionate about, and they've really shaped what I've done and who I've become far more than actually the subjects that I was studying.
Was that a shock to the system? Sorry, when you leave home, essentially, don't you? I suppose lots of people, it's the first time they leave home, they go to university, and then all of a sudden you have to do your own washing, you got to feed yourself, clothe yourself, pay for your buses, whatever it is you're doing, and all of a sudden you also have to apply yourself as well, and that's a real shock.
Yeah, I think it's tricky if you've been in a school that's sort of giving you lots and lots of input all the time, and you know, for want of a better word, spoon feeding. One of the things I really like about the IB diploma is that it doesn't, you know, it requires you as a student to be independent, to manage your own time really effectively, and to sort of chart your own path in terms of your studies. So that for me is a great preparation and something I think more students could benefit from.
Okay, Daniel, I want to stand that point for a second because David's texted in with a question that I think you and Jennifer are both very well placed to answer. David says, as a parent, how do I decide whether IB or a different curriculum is best to prepare for university for my child?
That's a great question, and I think, you know, a lot of it is to do with your child, your own child, and who you will know best. For me, the strength of the IB is that it does require that greater independence, that greater ability to think for yourself and to analyse. And we do find, actually, that there are, and statistics also demonstrate this, that a higher proportion of IB students actually complete the degree they start, so they are finishers, and a higher proportion of IB students actually get first-class degrees in the UK universities. So that, for me, speaks for itself, really.
And Jennifer, would you agree with them?
I definitely agree in terms of the IB program. It does prepare the students. I mean, you have all of the learner profiles that the students literally become, even though they don't know they're becoming it. But advice that I would give to this individual would be, as a parent, educate yourself about the programs, because, as you said, they know their children better than anybody else. So if they're looking at AP, IB, Common Core, you name it, they really need to find out about the intricacies of those curriculum and then make an educated decision with the family.
And Elisa, just a question for you, though, because I think you'll have a very good answer to this. No name, so we don't know who it's from, but they said the first school that runs parent homework or curriculum courses and does it well gets my vote and money. This parent's sort of saying, how can I help my child if I don't understand the content they are being tasked with? So you need to help the parents in order to help them help you and the students. I mean, can you see there are being a strong need for parents being given some help, because you're obviously in a very supportive role to these students, but if parents were a bit better informed, do you think it might make your life a little easier?
Yeah, we have strong parent contact where we work. So we just had a parent event for all of the people that are graduating next year. It's the class of 2019 students. We brought in all the parents and we went through the entire process with them. And that was one of the most meaningful experiences, because now the parents are fully on board, don't need to be hands-on. We didn't say, okay, here's where you need to tell your student to work, here's where you need to tell your student to work, but they know the entire process. And so oftentimes parents come to us with questions about changing schools. It happens frequently, you know, should we go to this school? Should we go to this school? My student's not happy at this school. And we have, you know, the knowledge of working with a lot of different students and being familiar with the curricula. But it would be helpful for parents to be really in the loop and at least have that touch point like we have. You know, we have parents and students we meet with regularly. So that is a huge help.
Okay. And just briefly, Jennifer, would you say it's great to offer parents this insight into what the children are going through?
Absolutely. At Collegiate American, we have biweekly coffee talks, and those talks are centered around what the parents want to know. They literally wrote their own design for those discussions. And a big common discussion is, what's the IB? How does it work? How does it prepare my child? And is it better than the AP or the American curriculum?
And Daniel, same question to you.
Yeah, lots of parent workshops are really important. They need to understand what it is their students are studying. And then as you go through the university application process, you've got to keep the parents inside that inside that particular boat and going through that journey with their children so that they actually understand what's going on.
Really solid advice for you parents out there. Thank you very much to our three guests today. We had Jennifer Hager, Principal, Head of Secondary School, Collegiate American School. Jennifer, thank you for coming on the programme.
Thank you, my pleasure.
We also had Elisa Bryan, one of the education consultants at Hale Education. Thanks for coming in again.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Daniel Lewis, Principal of North London Collegiate School. Actor, but not Daniel Day-Lewis.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for joining us.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.